ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. أما بعد، فقد قال الله في كتابه الكريم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. هو الذي أخرج الذين كفروا من أهل الكتاب من ديارهم لأول الحشر. For the hastening of the reappearance of our Imam, please recite his salawat. Inshallah, we hope that in these nights of mourning that we commemorate the anniversary of the Shahada, the martyrdom, and the massacre of our Imam and his family in Karbala, that we would be able to benefit and would have some talks and dialogue together, inshallah. One of the surahs that we have in the Holy Quran, which is a very interesting surah, is Surah Hashr. Hashr means to gather. When people gather, that's called Hashr. The surah begins in the following way. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. سبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم. Everything in the heavens and the earth, that's tasbih, that's the verse. Tasbih, everything, the heavens and the earth, or the earth themselves, all the heavens, the earth, everything that lives on the earth, everything that lives in the heavens, everything does tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what does that mean? We're going to get to it a little bit. In the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَخْرَجَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ لِأَوَّلِ الْحَشْرِ. He is the one who made the people who disbelieve, الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ, but those who have or who believe in a book, in a divine religion, in a previous divine religion, he caused them to leave their homes. لِأَوَّلِ الْحَشْرِ مَا ظَنَنْتُمْ أَنْ يَخْرُجُوا. You didn't think that they would leave. وَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مَانِعَتُهُمْ حُصُونُهُمْ. And they thought that their forts and those huge walls would protect them from you, from the mu'mineen. فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَمْ يَحْتَسِبُوا. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala came to them from an angle or from where they did not expect. وَقَذَفَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمُ الرُّعْبُ. And he put fear in their hearts from you. يُخْرِبُونَ بُيُوتَهُمْ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ وَأَيْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. They ended up destroying their own homes with their own hands and the hands of the mu'mineen. فَاعْتَبِرُوا يَا أُولِي الْأَبْصَارِ. Take advice from that, O people who have eyes to see. What is that verse talking about? You probably heard of a story at the time of the Holy Prophet, the battle that sometimes, you know, in the lectures that we talk about, the chivalry of Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayh, is the battle of, what is it? The battle of Khaybar. Okay, we've all heard the stories of how Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah Alayh took the door of Khaybar, and you know, all the different stories that we've heard regarding that. The verses talking about that story. You know, the Jews that lived outside of Medina, Now, there's a lot of different stories regarding this, the Jews that lived there. It's interesting that these people, the Jewish tribes that lived outside of Medina, actually came to Medina because they were waiting, they were expecting the coming of the Prophet. The Jews didn't live in the Arabian Peninsula. They didn't live there. If you know the story, they first lived in Egypt, then they moved to Jerusalem, to Babylon, back to Jerusalem. Anyway, story is long, we don't want to get into that. But that's not where they lived. They moved there to Medina because they wanted to be alongside the Prophet of Islam. Because they were told in their book that the Prophet was going to be coming. So anyway, when the Prophet came, they decided that they didn't want to accept what he had to say. One of the reasons being, he wasn't from the Jewish tribes. He wasn't from Bani Israel. Now, at first, the Holy Prophet did not wage war with them. He called them to Islam and for them to accept the religion. They didn't accept, but they were Ahlul Kitab. They lived there. Then they started creating some problems. They started working with the Kuffar in Mecca. They started plotting against the Holy Prophet. They went against their pledge. They had pledged they will not help anyone against the Prophet. They went against that. So the Holy Prophet went and fought them. What they had, unlike the Arabs, you know, the Arabs at that time were not very civilized. Okay. Their buildings were very simple buildings, that, you know, one-story buildings made out of clay, nothing special. But the Jews, they knew how to make buildings, okay? They had made forts just to make sure that they're protected. So when an attack came, everyone gathered in the fort and no one could come in. That's the way they were. So when the Prophet went to fight them, they stayed in their fort. They had their water, they had their food, they had their livestock, all of it there. They didn't need to leave. Everything was there. And they were just, you know, mocking the Prophet and making fun of him. Hey, you guys can't come in. And, you know, throwing stones or whatever from inside the fort onto the Prophet and his companions. So what happened, after a while, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse tells us what happened. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put fear in their hearts that the Muslims are going to come and they're going to take over this fort, the fortress. So what do? We can't let the Muslims have this, so let's destroy it so at least they can't benefit from it. With that mentality, they started to destroy their own buildings. With that thought, they started to destroy the buildings. Isn't that funny? You've made a building and you want the Muslims to stay out of it. You end up tearing down your own building with that mentality. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fear is put in their hearts. Instead of the Muslims tearing it down and destroying it, they started destroying it themselves. And then, after that, the mu'mineen took control of that and they destroyed the rest of it. This is where the first verse of the surah comes in. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in that first verse that يُسَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. Everything in the heavens, in the earth, does tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to talk about this a little bit. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, the system that He has created, it works the way He wants it. We got to take note of that. We got to take note of how He has set it up to work. Because that's the way we got to use it. He has set it up in a way, in this particular story, for example, that the kuffar, the Jews, not knowingly They are obeying the command of Allah. He's got control over all of it. Not knowingly, unintentionally, carrying out the plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set forth for that system. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted the Holy Prophet to take over, right? That was the plan. They were blocking that. That's what their intention was. They wanted to fight the Prophet. But while they were trying to do that, because of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up this system, with all their power, they worked towards their intentions, but what ended up happening was what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to happen. Because that's how the system is. We shouldn't be fooled by the appearance of this system. Should not be fooled by what seems to be taking place. We should look for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about what's going to be happening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Holy Quran that جَاءَ الْحَقَّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Haq came and batil left. Okay, that's not the main point. The main point is that last piece. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Batil is such that it will not last. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the system of this world such that batil will not persist. That's the way it is. They may seem to have power, the kuffar, but that's not going to persist. That's not how the system works. إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. Okay, that's how batil is. Wrong deeds, wrong intentions, that's not going to persist. The wrong system, the unjust or the unjust system is not going to prevail. What will stay is haqq. In today's life, we've got to pay attention to this point, brothers and sisters. Don't think that the kafir countries and the superpowers have got their control over the world. That's what they portray. That's not how it is. The way it is, yes, they do have some power. They are using their power as much as they can for their intentions to get to their goals, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts all that effort to get where He wants to get. I don't know if you've been following the news or not. If you don't only follow the news in, you know, from the Western or the Zionist media, you see that things are not working the way that they thought they were. A very good example of it is a few years back, if you remember, for those who do, the Lebanon war. They put all of their effort, all their planning was such that they would destroy Hezbollah in Lebanon, and they would get rid of this problem that they've had ever since in the 1980s. Everything was planned well. Hezbollah did something that triggered that. You know, they helped them out. They got the excuse that they wanted. Everything was working well, the way they saw it. The advantage that the Israelis had over Hezbollah in terms of the technology, intelligence, apparently everything was working against Hezbollah. That's the way it seemed. And they put all their efforts. But what ended up happening? What ended up happening was what they could not even see in their worst nightmares, which was all the Sunni world lining up behind Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah and everyone supporting Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. Totally opposite to what they thought. That caused everyone to start respecting Hezbollah a lot more than before. They never even wanted for a single moment in their lives to see anyone uniting, and especially uniting behind a Shia leader like Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. They wanted to get rid of him. But what ended up happening? They spent all the money. They got all the American bombs and planes and all of that. And they bombarded the people. But what ended up happening? They destroyed their own. Before then, people were thinking, yes, Israel has got the fourth best army in the world and this and that. Popularity just dropped. They said they had to get rid of a tank. They were saying I forget the name of the tank they had, that you know they were selling for so expensive, they were saying it's the best tank you can find in the world. Well, Hezbollah fighters with their little bazookas or whatever destroyed so many of those guys that they had to take a whole bunch of those guys back. They lost everything that they had. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan works in this way. This is how the world is. It's not that they don't have any power, no. But they will use the power with their intentions towards their goals, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it happen the way He wants it. That's how it is. That example of the Holy Prophet's time, we see loads of it during this time. They got into Iraq. For what purpose? Whatever the purpose was, it didn't happen the way they wanted it to. Now, I don't want to get into this too much. This is important for us to understand, brothers and sisters. If we don't get this right, we're not going to make the right decisions in life. Okay? Every decision that one makes in their lives is based on the realities that they understand, based on the information that they have about their surroundings. If we get that information wrong, then the decisions that we're going to be making are going to be wrong decisions, because it's not based on truth, it's not based on reality. It's based on assumptions, false information. Okay. These principles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has stated in the Holy Quran about how this universe is governed are key in us making the right decisions. This is one of those principles by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala governs this universe. Haqq does not prevail. Period. Okay, so what are we supposed to do? The important thing is, that's going to happen. Am I going to be part of the system that's going to be taking down the batil? I've got my responsibilities. Every individual has got their responsibilities. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to do what He's going to do. It's a matter of us being part of the picture, being on the right side or the wrong side. Otherwise, He's going to do what He's going to do. Let's look at the story of Karbala. Have you ever thought of what happened there? I don't know how many of you have read up on the information or how much actually text there is in English where you could get a hold of that information of what the setting was when Imam Hussein did the move or made the move that he did, and what the intention of those who fought the Imam were, the way things looked and what they had planned was to get rid of this problem once and for all. Bani Umayyah, Muawiyah, and his father Abu Sufyan, they hated the Prophet's guts. They hated him. You know, Abu Sufyan accepted Islam when he saw the Prophet conquering Mecca. That's when he accepted Islam. And obviously the reason is pretty clear why he accepted Islam at that point. Because those who didn't were going to be killed. Okay, so he said, okay, I'm Muslim. But he continued his animosity in his son, Muawiyah, the same way, in Yazid. They hated it. It's been narrated in history. They hated it. They got really upset that why in the Adhan, okay, the Muslims, all Muslims, so many thousands of people at that time, and now, you know, billion people, are calling and mentioning the name, the glorious name of the Holy Prophet, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll get really upset. So now that they had come to power after Amir al-Mu'mineen, you know, there was a fight between Amir al-Mu'mineen and Muawiyah. And unfortunately, because people like us at that time made the wrong decision, the companions of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh made the wrong decisions, it ended up such that Amir al-Mu'mineen lost the battle. Muawiyah took over, he became the Khalifa, and after him Yazid came to power. But they still had the family of the Holy Prophet in their way. So Yazid is thinking, okay, we'll get rid of this problem once and for all. All of the Ahlul Bayt are gathered in Karbala. All of them. Imam al-Husayn, his son, and his grandson. They're all there, the women are there, everybody's there. Just finish it off. Kill everybody. That was their plan. And they did that. But what happened? What was the result? The result of that wasn't that they got rid of Imam Hussein and his movement. The result of it was actually Bani Umayyah's rule came to an end. Yazid's rule came to an end. And actually Islam and the right view of Islam, the right views of Islam prevailed. That was the conclusion. I mean, how many times have you had in history that a family was massacred completely? At least all their guys were massacred. It's not the first time. That's not the first time we see in history that these many people were faced by so many more people and everybody, all the men were killed. This is not the first time in history that happened. But in this particular case, you have haqq on one side, truth on one side, and you have batil on the other side. Batil puts all its effort to get to a goal, and that is to get rid of the haqq so they can do whatever they want. But what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, that's not going to happen. Not in my system. It's haqq that's going to prevail, not batil. Okay. But the important thing is, where we are is part of that picture. There were a lot of people, you know, that called on Imam al-Husayn salamullah alayhi to come to Kufa. They, again, you know, it's good. I hope there are some books in English that you can find to read up on the story of Karbala and what happened. Have you ever thought why even the people in Kufa invited the Imam to Kufa? Were they Shia? Did they believe in the imamate of the imam? If they did, then why would they kill him? The people in Kufa were not Shia in the way, or in with this meaning that they believed in the imamate of our imams, or the concept of imam. They didn't believe in that. A very small number of them did, and some of those, you know, they were either imprisoned and killed in prison, or they joined Imam Hussein. A very small number, maybe 10, 15 people in Kufa. The rest of them didn't believe in the concept of imamate. The reason why they called him over was because, you know, Amir al-Mu'mineen, his government was based in Kufa, and these people had fought Muawiyah. Because of that, after Muawiyah took over, right? These guys were in deep trouble. Simple. What's Muawiyah going to do? A tyrant. When he takes over a place where they had fought him, he's going to start taking revenge. So they're going to have a tough time. That was what was happening. So they thought now that Yazid's on, and Yazid is a lot worse than his father Muawiyah. And Imam Hussein had made his move and he hadn't pledged allegiance to Yazid. He made his way to Mecca. So they said, okay, we'll invite him over. They invited him for that reason. So a lot of people were there in Karbala. The result of Karbala was going to be that the message of Imam Hussein is going to be staying alive. But the issue was, if we were there, are we going to be on Imam Hussein's side or are we going to be on Yazid's side? Whose side are we going to be on? That's the important thing. Things in the world are going to happen the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has planned it. Always know that. Okay. It's going to happen in that way. It's a matter of us making the right decisions. You know, we have a similar situation to the people at the time of Imam al-Hussein. We have a very similar situation. The similar situation is that we're going to have an uprising of an imam as well. That we need to think of a little more. Our 12th imam, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif. When our imam comes, he's going to have an uprising. Don't think that, oh, I'm a Shia, this and that, I believe in the imam, we're going to be on the right side, don't, just pray for the imam to come. That's not going to be the case, it's not as easy as that. We've had some pretty strong Shias go against the imams in our history. Now I said in Kufa, the people there that went and fought the imam, they weren't really Shia. But some of the events that took place later on after that with some of the imams, the people that caused the problems for the imams, they were Shia. There's a sect in Shia that is called the Waqifiyya sect. They're extinct, alhamdulillah. They only lived for about maybe 50 to 100 years at the time of the Ahlul Bayt. It was a sect that believed only up to the seventh imam. They believed that the seventh imam, Imam al-Kadhim, is the Mahdi and he's gone into occultation. They said, no, he hasn't died. You know, Imam Kadhim, he was imprisoned. And he was killed in prison, then they brought the body out. So these guys claim that the seventh imam is the Mahdi. He hasn't died. These guys are lying. He's gone into the occultation. Now, you know who these guys were that made this sect and started to claim that the imam has gone into occultation? These people were the representatives of the seventh imam. The wukala of the seventh imam. Not normal Shias either. They weren't just Joe Average on the street. They were top guys. They were representatives of the seventh imam. Wukala of the seventh imam in Baghdad. Ziyad al-Qandi is one of their names. Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Bata'ini is another one. These guys, they gathered, they said, no. And you know why? Because while the imam was in prison for the last 4 years, they had gathered the khums money. They had it. When the imam was martyred, they realized if they want to accept the imamate of Imam al-Ridha salamullah alayh, they're going to have to give up all that money. So for the money that they had in their hands, to keep that, they said, no, the imam has gone into occultation. They said Imam al-Ridha is a liar. Caused a big division amongst the Shia. So it's not like, hey, I'm a Shia, I pray for the 12th imam, this and that. These guys were some big guys, you know. One of them, like Ali ibn Abi Hamza al-Batani, he's got so many hadith that we have in our books. So many hadith. He had so much information from the imam. As a child, he used to be around Imam al-Sadiq. Okay, then he grew up, until, you know, Imam Kadhim's time, and he was a top figure at that time. Someone like that goes against the Imam of his time and he calls him a liar and he says he's not the Imam. You think that's not going to happen when the 12th Imam comes? Actually, we have hadith that it will happen. It says that some of the people that thought, it's very similar to the Jewish story, okay? It says some of the people that thought he's going to be one of them are going to go against him. Who's going to think the Imam is going to be one of them? Sunnis? I don't think so. It's going to be the Shia. Some of the Shia are going to be going against the Imam. That's a fact. It's mentioned in the Ahadith. We've got to be careful. We've got to make the right decisions. We've got to make sure when something like that occurs, we are on the right side. Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plans are going to be working that way. And about the event that took place today, or I guess yesterday, their Sabbath in the occupied lands. When you see them getting more and more violent, you got to realize that they have no other choice. That means their choices are becoming more and more limited. The plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is working. Don't take what you're told in the media here about what's going on in Israel. Okay, it's a pretty bad situation in what they call Israel, that government, and inside, and the Jewish people that are there. Inshallah, pretty soon we will be hearing some news about the annihilation of the Zionist regime, inshallah. And we hope that the brothers and sisters that we have there in Palestine, they realize this truth and they work harder and harder towards this goal, inshallah. And we pray that all the Muslimin also are guided to the right path. It is difficult for us to see that the Muslim brothers and sisters that we have are not given the right information about the religion, and unfortunately they don't follow the right school of thought. But I want to mention here that that should not be a pretext for us to neglect and turn our heads away from what's going on in Palestine. That's very wrong. Unfortunately, we have some of our Shia brothers and sisters, some of us, that with this pretext, they say, oh, let them get killed. They don't believe in the Ahlul Bayt, or some of them go further and say they're the enemy of the... They're not the enemy of the Ahlul Bayt, brothers and sisters. That should not be a pretext for us to make such judgments and not support that cause. So I want to reemphasize this point, brothers and sisters. It's important that we check ourselves out. We make sure we are on the right page. Make sure we are on the wrong, on the right side. And it's never, ever late to do so. We have the story of Hur as well, that we've all heard of. Until the last day, this guy was on the enemy's side. But on the last day, the last few hours of his life, he decided to make that change. It's never late. So inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be his soldiers and to be on his side, inshallah, when he comes. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents of their sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help the brothers and sisters that we have in Gaza, in the occupied lands, in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, the Shias that are being killed there, everywhere in the world, all the brothers and sisters that we have that are being oppressed, inshallah, that all of them are freed from oppression, inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.